Hello and welcome back to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This is a ministry of the Wash and Word, which is our hand car washing business located in Churchill on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. My name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife Victoria, we own and operate this business, and we use it as a means to support this ministry. And we encourage you to come by and get your car washed as we work hard to supply the money that it takes to run this ministry and this business. We also like invite you to go to washandword.com. There you can find out all the information about this ministry and about this business. So let's not waste any time talking about that. Let's get right back to our verse-by-verse Bible teaching. We left off finishing the last few verses of chapter 11 in the Gospel of John. And to summarize what we read in our last message, the Pharisees have given the official edict that this man must die, this Jesus must be put to death. And it was the Passover time where all the Jews go to Jerusalem to get their ceremonial yearly cleansing. And the chief priests and the Pharisees had given an order that said if anyone were to see Jesus, they must report it so that they might arrest him. And so essentially, this is an APB. Do you know what an APB is? It stands for All Points Bulletin. They basically put out an APB on Jesus saying that if anyone were to see him, they must notify these Pharisees and Jewish leaders that they might go ahead and arrest him. And we left off in our last message talking about how when you remove Jesus from your life and you make a decision to eradicate him or to decide that I'm no longer even going to entertain the idea of a savior, every thought from that moment forward is going to be irrational and it's going to be void of practical thought, because you can't have rational and practical thought apart from the truth of Jesus Christ, apart from the mind of Christ. Yeah, sure, you can have thoughts that the world agrees with, that non-believers will find to be articulate and maybe even thought-provoking, you know, ideas or whatever it is you're spewing. But the truth is, when you line it up with God's word, it's never going to be rational. It's never going to be practical. And so this APB goes out on to Jesus. And I think some of you might know what an APB is, because some of you probably had a pretty sordid past and may know firsthand what an APB might be. But how about the crime of aiding and abetting? Basically, they said, if you see this man, you are to tell us where he is so that we can do something about it. So think about that. Today, everywhere the name of Jesus is found or brought up or displayed, somebody comes against it. And not just the name Jesus or the written word, but those who even represent it. The representation of Christ, even the manger scene, and Christians, of course. People are coming against the representation of Christ in every form and fashion. And if the name Jesus comes up, it must get put down. It's funny to see the look on people's faces when you start talking about Jesus, especially non-believers. Well, predominantly non-believers. Or, you know, we here at the Wash and Word, we play these messages on a loop over and over throughout the day. There's five of them that play. All these week's messages play on a loop throughout the day. And each time after these five messages are done, they replay. And I play them here in the waiting room. And this, you can also hear them on 107.1 FM if you're in the parking lot or you're waiting to get your car washed. Anyway, we have a small transmitter, and they go over the airwaves. And it's interesting. I can always tell when a non-believer has entered into the car wash waiting area, because these sermons are going forth, truth is being preached in a verse-by-verse manner, and I see people kind of hanging around the parking lot. Instead of sitting in their comfortable chairs, they might venture off and wander away. And the reason for that, I believe, not all the time, I'm sure, but sometimes people don't realize what they're getting into, and they come to this Christian business where Jesus is highly represented. They're sitting there, and all they can hear is these words of truth going over the speaker, and they go the other way. They'd rather stand in the hot sun of the parking lot than sit in a comfortable chair listening to the words of truth. Because when you eradicate Jesus from your life, truth is no longer rational and no longer practical. And the world is on a worldwide rampant campaign to eliminate Jesus from, well, everything. used to be just minority groups would try to get together and get rid of the things, you know, get rid of Jesus and his names. But now it isn't just minority groups, it's large groups, and they've banded together and they've organized and united, and even governmental groups have gotten involved. There's a worldwide campaign to eliminate God, and specifically to eliminate the name of Jesus, and to remove it from, well, from everything. There used to be a place in Florida, I don't know if it's world, you know, I don't know if it's nationwide, it was called the Jesus House of Hope. And this was a, you know, it was a ministry where people can come and find hope, and people would donate to it. And then it wasn't too many years ago, they got rid of it. It was just called the House of Hope. And when asked about where the name, why isn't it called Jesus House of Hope anymore? This was their answer. In an effort to bring in more donations, longtime Martin County charity Jesus House of Hope decided to drop the word Jesus from its name. This was back in Stuart, Martin County, Stuart, Florida, where I pastored my church. And it was a shame that they took the name of Jesus out in an effort to bring in more donations, because by removing the name of Jesus, they could bring in more groups for possible donations. Think about the Salvation Army. They rarely preach salvation, if they do at all. Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Oxford, these all are devoid of Christian values. And they were, some of those were founded by Christians. And they, I think Oxford was even founded by a reverend, and yet they have completely abandoned the name of Jesus. They've even taken the name of Christ out of something that has his name in it, Christmas. And don't get me started on the Ten Commandments being removed from our government buildings, and prayer from our schools, and under God from our pledge, and these idiot NFL players not standing for the national anthem. Of course, that's a different subject altogether. I guess now I just revealed my where I stand on that fence. But even In God We Trust is trying to, they're trying to get that off of the money. Everywhere you go, they're trying to get rid of God and the name of Jesus. God help us. We've even removed the name of Jesus from our Protestant church pulpits. It is a deliberate exclusion for the sake of making more money and seeing more people come to their doors. But let me tell you the good news. They will never be successful. Never. And you know why? Because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And today, this may be the last time you hear an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ into your heart for the forgiveness of your sins and the promise and hope of an eternal life with an everlasting God in a heaven that he has created for us. Listen, you will, and I'm going to underline that in your minds, you will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hopefully you'll do it with him in your heart. Let's move on into chapter 12 now. And in chapter 12, we're going to see his triumphal entry. We're going to see him being anointed. And we're going to see the part of the Last Supper where he will predict his own death. And there's four things in chapter 12 that we're going to touch on. And it's going to take several messages at 15 minutes a pop to really get through them. And there's four things that take place in chapter 12. There is an anointing, there is an objecting, there is a rebuking, and there is a gathering. And so first, we're going to go ahead and take a look at the anointing. Verses 1 through 3 in chapter 12, Gospel of John. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Let's stop right there, because the first of our four main points to look at in chapter 12 is anointing. So he's come back to Bethany. This is one of his favorite places to dwell, I believe. It's about a mile and a half from Jerusalem. And I believe that he liked coming there because his visits were comfortable. He was among friends. He was among a family that loved each other and loved him. But his time has now come. And after all of those, my time has not yet come, we now see that in the next 6 days, a lot is going to happen in Jesus' life. Now, he was very close with his disciples, of course. He was teaching them and training them and explaining things to them. But here we see he kind of just goes on he goes there just to hang out with friends, just to be comforted and to comfort others. You know, it's kind of like the difference between going to work and having a day off. And when he goes to this house, I believe this is sort of a day off, kind of. And, I mean, Jesus never took a day off, obviously, because every day was planned by God and ordained divinely. But, you know, even teachers need a day off. So, and this is Jesus's idea of a day off, I believe. So let's set the scene quickly. He comes back and he wants to spend some time with some old good friends. And we're not sure how many times he's gone to this house, but one thing for sure, we do know he likes it there. He liked going there, and why not? He was around comforting people. Let me tell you something about my Jesus. He will go to the most worst and wretched places, and he will pluck the worst and most wretched people out of them, and he will clean them up. Jesus will go to a meth house. He'll go to a jailhouse. He'll even go to a whorehouse. Heck, he'll even go to the White House, and he'll clean up anyone. And that is what our loving Savior will do. He checks under rocks and in dumpsters. He goes into sewers and even into churches. And he will do that 100 times out of 100. But don't you think just once in a while he'd rather spend a meal with a faithful and devoted, loving follower of his? Of course he would. And again, Jesus will go to all of those places, but you gotta believe he must have really enjoyed hanging out with some of these loving, devoted followers. Listen, the greater your walk with Christ, the purer your thoughts will be, and the more selfless you will become. The greater your walk, the purer your thoughts, and the more selfless you will become, i.e., the more like the Lord you become. And the closer to the Lord, the more like the Lord you are, the closer to the Lord you will be. And now we see him 6 days prior to the Passover. People are starting to pile into Jerusalem. It's a beautiful scene, really. Everyone is laughing and coming in to this annual feast. But here in this house, we have a moment of peace. It says there, Lazarus was reclining at the table. People were enjoying each other's friendship and family. And then in comes Mary. And how many times have you read that before? In comes Mary with her perfume. I might have read it 50 times before God showed me something this time. And so I saw something in this scripture that I've read over and over again that I want to share with you. I want you to give everything you own to Jesus and then give everything you are to him. You see, it's one thing to give of your resources to Christ, but it's quite another thing to give everything that you are to him. Your thoughts, your actions, your future plans, things that are not material and tangible, but all the stuff that you control in your mind, give it over to Christ. And we'll pick that up exactly what that means in our next message. But here's Mary giving Jesus everything that she owned and then giving everything that she was over to him. And we'll look at that tomorrow. Join me again here at this radio station at 8:30 a.m. 1260. You can listen to them there, or you can go to the washandword.com website to listen to these messages and come by the Washing Word and let us wash your car. Look forward to seeing you. Have a blessed day.